Let's now go to God's Word, and let me call Pastor George Ochua as he delivers God's Word to us. Let's give the Lord a clap of praise.
Morning, church. We are now in our second installment of our Go and Tell series. Last week, I preached for more than an hour, so we have pretty much covered everything that needs to be discussed in this mini-series that we have. But however, church, our topic this morning supersedes what has been preached last week. Today, we're going to talk about real power. We're going to listen, and not just in evangelism, but we're going to talk about real power in the Christian life itself. But before we go there, can I ask everyone, let's come before the Lord in prayer. Let's humble ourselves before the presence of God. Lord, we thank you for this morning, Lord. This is a day that you have made, and we rejoice, O God. Once again, Father, we thank you for the perfect work of Jesus at the cross, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, as we worship you this morning, Lord. We know, Lord God, that together with the legions of angels in heaven, Lord, together, O God, with all the saints in the past, we are worshiping with them right now, Lord. For you alone are worthy of worship. You alone are worthy of praise. And so, Lord Jesus, this morning we humbly ask that you allow your word, Lord, to be preached with clarity and anointing under the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you just fill every corner of this place right now with your manifest presence. That, Lord, more than attending a service, Lord, we pray that this morning you will make it special, Lord, with your visitation, O God. We humbly ask, Holy Spirit, that you'll be the one, Lord, to minister to each and every heart, O Lord. And whatever will be done and accomplished today, our desire and praise, Lord, our desire and prayer, Lord, is that all praise and glory be unto the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, guys, one Saturday, some 9 years ago, I had a very tiring and frustrating day. Everything seemed to go wrong in my business, in my dealings with people. Nothing seemed to work out. One bad thing happened after the other. Well, it was a pretty terrible day for me. But the thing was, I was assigned to lead the praise and worship during that time, during that afternoon. We were still in Park Lane. It was still Living Word Park Lane during that time. And as I was preparing for my exhortation alone in the room, in my bedroom during that time, words somehow just couldn't get through. As I meditated on God's word, I couldn't focus, I couldn't concentrate, and that's why it just added to the frustration. Kapoy na kay ko, and somehow as I was preparing for the exhortation, nothing seems to connect. So at that moment, I was already very frustrated and tired, so I just dropped everything. I went near by my bedside, and I just knelt before the Lord, crying out before the Lord, telling the Lord, Lord, please help me. This is not something that I signed up for, Lord. Kapoy kay ko, Lord. And you know, I was just complaining. I was praying. I was seeking God. But what? The more I called upon the Lord, as I earnestly called upon the Lord, guys, my petition all of a sudden became transitioned from petition, it transitioned to praise. From asking the Lord, I began to praise the Lord. So I was saying, Lord, sige lang, Lord, even though if the situation is like this, I know you're in complete control. I know that you are my great God. I know you're you can do exceedingly abundantly beyond what I could ask or imagine. I just began to praise God. But guys, as I began to praise and worship the Lord, some moments later, the next thing I knew was that I was prostrated to the ground. My head, my forehead was touching the floor, down. My whole body was touching the floor. I was prostrated to the ground. And at that time, guys, there was such a loving presence that filled the entire room. And I just began to weep. I felt so unworthy to be in that kind of presence. There was so much peace. And I just felt so tremendously loved that I wept and I wept. And as I wept, I continued to praise God. And during that time, the floor was literally wet with my tears because I just felt so unworthy to be in that kind of presence. Now, I couldn't lift my head as I was praising God. So right then and there, I knew I was in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was such an amazing experience, guys. So after that moment of praising and worshiping the Lord, I got up. I felt so refreshed. I felt so rested. I went on to cheerfully and enthusiastically lead the praise and worship that particular afternoon. Now, another encounter I have with the Lord was some 5 years ago when I was diagnosed with cancer. Now, during that time, I was extremely anxious. I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep well. I couldn't function properly. I was afraid. I was confused. I was depressed. During that time, I was everything but fine during that moment in my life, during that season. And we'll never forget this, guys. One time, I was driving alone in IT Park, going to my office. Depressing thoughts began to fill my mind. I thought about my wife, what will happen to her if I die early. During that time, my kids were still so small, so I was thinking, if I die, what will happen to my son? What will happen to my daughter? I thought about my future. I thought about my procedure, my treatment, and depressing thoughts just clouded my mind. While I was driving, I was really crying. Good thing my car was tinted. Otherwise, I would have looked so crazy, you know, driving and crying. And I will never forget this. When I reached near waterfront, as if someone sat beside me in the passenger side of the car. And church, there was that familiar presence of love once again. There was that very familiar out-of-this-world peace that I felt during that time. Again, there was such a surge of love that's enveloping me. And then again, right then and there, I know I was in the presence of the King of Kings, the King of Glory. And what this made this moment extra special, guys, was that the Lord spoke to me. Now, it was almost audible, as it was almost I could hear His voice clearly. He imparted in my heart during that time. Again, I was diagnosed with cancer, no? And the Lord asked me, Joe, are you willing to go through this storm for me? A very gentle but very affirming voice from the Lord. So during that time, my tears of sadness became tears of joy. Why? Because an unworthy sinner like me, I knew I was in the presence of the King of Kings, the King of Glory, the God who created heaven and earth, the God who created me. An unworthy sinner like me having a visitation from the Lord. So the Lord imparted that question to my heart, are you willing to go through this storm for me? I cried all the more, but this time it was tears of joy. I said, Lord, yes, Lord, I am willing. And guys, during that time, my fears were driven out. The Bible tells us that perfect love casts out fear. Amen? Now guys, why am I sharing this to you? I'm sharing this to you because every time I think about these experiences I have with the Lord, gives me strength to go on with my Christian life. It helps me keep on keeping on in my Christian faith. Now, I'm sharing these things to you because I am simply testifying what the Lord has done for me. I am simply acting as a witness to testify God's goodness in my life. Now, last week, we talked about being salt of the earth and light of the world. We talked about intentional evangelism. We talked about leading the lost to the footstool of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, guys, how many of you know that one of the most effective tools we can use for evangelism is our Christian testimony, is our witnessing? Now, turn your Bibles with me now to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The Lord Jesus says here, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, Lord Jesus said here in Acts 1:8 that you will be my witnesses. Now, everybody say witnesses. Say it with conviction, guys. Witnesses. Now, the Lord Jesus says we are to be His witnesses. Now, you should understand that in God's kingdom, not everyone is called to become pastors. Not everyone is called to become missionaries. Not everyone is called to become full-time church workers, but everyone is called to become His witnesses. So what does a witness do, guys? What do witness do? Now, in Psalm 71, verse 15, in NLT, it says here, I will tell everyone about your righteousness. All day long, I will proclaim your saving power. Again, it says here, I will tell everyone about your righteousness, and all day long, I will proclaim your saving power. And guys, as witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ, a salt of the earth and light of the world, we are to be like this psalmist. We are to tell people about God's goodness. We are to tell people about God's salvation. We are to tell people about the gospel. Now, it's interesting to note that one of the specific functions of the Holy Spirit that the Lord Jesus Christ specifically mentioned is that we will receive power and we will become His witnesses. Again, one of the interesting things is that the Lord Jesus specifically mentioned that we will receive power to become witness. Now, Jesus didn't say that we will receive power in order for us to become powerful theologians. The Lord Jesus didn't say we will receive power so that we will become eloquent speakers. The Lord Jesus said, you will receive power and you will become my witnesses. Now, guys, this dying and unbelieving world doesn't just need any type of witnesses. But this dying world, this unbelieving world, needs powerful witnesses of God's kingdom. And the point is this: if you want to effectively proclaim God's goodness to unbelievers, if you want to proclaim God's salvation to this dying and unbelieving world, you got to tap into that power that the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And the point is this, guys, we need supernatural power to accomplish the works of His kingdom. We need the power of God to accomplish His purposes. We need the supernatural power of God for us to advance His kingdom. Now, guys, I challenge you. Try go witnessing or ministering to a Taoist believer. You know what? Try to present your theology. Try to present your strategy to the Taoist believer. Let me tell you guys, the Taoist believer will just laugh at your strategy. Will just laugh at your theology. Why? Because when Taoist worshipers, when they worship their God speaks to them one-on-one. They have supernatural worship when they go to their temple. Now, friends, my great-grandfather used to be a Taoist high priest. And when he ministers with signs and wonders. Now, what I'm trying to say, guys, is that we are the church of the living God. We are the church of the Most High God. And we are supposed to accomplish the work of His kingdom with His power and not with our own strategy. It is not by might, it is not by our own strategy, but by the Spirit of God alone. So, guys, we need to tap in to that supernatural power. We need to tap into that power that the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us here in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Now, one time when we started our work there in Living Word IT Park, I mean, I always have a heart for the young people. No, as we started to install the lights, as we started to set up the equipments, I thought to myself, oh, we have a very cool church. We have blinking lights. We have top-of-the-line equipment. So I was thinking, oh, it's easier for us to invite the young people. It's easier for us to draw a crowd because we have all these things. So we set up the whole place for maybe we finish around 11 o'clock. And so as on my way home, I passed by Crossroads. And when I passed by Crossroads, I saw their young people partying. And I saw their lights brighter than the lights in our church. I saw their equipments louder than our church. There's a booth first. We're going tuk-tuk-tuk-tuk. So I was thinking, my goodness, how can we even, you know, what I'm trying to say is that how can we outdo the world? How can we outdo the world? I mean, what can we give these people? They will really realize that there's something different in the church. All the while I was thinking carnal, I was thinking about our lights, I was thinking about our music team, etc., etc., that it dawned upon me that God's work needs to be accomplished with His power. So what I'm trying to say, guys, is that if we invite an unbeliever to come into our service, and when he steps into our service, when he steps into our sanctuary, he feels the same as he steps into other establishments, what kind of witnessing are we doing? Now, we want a church, when an unbeliever steps into our sanctuary, when an unbeliever steps into to our service, right then and there, he or she will feel the presence of the Lord. He or she will experience something different because the presence of God is with us. So guys, as Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need supernatural power in order to minister to the unbelievers. Now here in Acts 1:8, Jesus said, you will receive power and the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you will be my witnesses. The thing is this, church, I believe that this promise is for each and every believer. I believe that every believer has the potential to become powerful witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. I really believe that. Why? because Jesus always fulfills His promise. Now, what I'm trying to say is that if you're a true blue, genuine, born-again Christian, if you're a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the potential to become a powerful witness for the Lord Jesus. I mean, the ingredient for you to become a bold herald for the gospel, the dynamo for you to become a powerful witness for the Lord Jesus Christ is already in you. Because Jesus has given the Holy Spirit 2,000 years ago. And the moment you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit dwells in you. So church, yes, you have the Holy Spirit. If you are a real Christian, you have the Holy Spirit. But the big question is, yes, you have the Holy Spirit, but does the Holy Spirit have you? Does the Holy Spirit have you? Are you living a Spirit-filled life? Now guys, last week I've mentioned about the great tragedy in the church today. Now tragedy in the church today is that there are so many Christians right now who are living defeated and powerless lives. Christians who profess to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ for many years, but yet has not led a single soul to the footstool of the cross. Poor witnesses. Ineffective Christian. Now guys, I don't claim to be a powerful witness for the Lord Jesus, but I sure do know how it is to be a powerless and defeated Christian. Now church, I was saved August of 1997. I surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in August of 1997. And I'm sure that it was a genuine conversion. I knew that I was saved. I know that I was completely forgiven of all my sins. In fact, during that time when I surrendered my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I was set freed from my drug addiction. So I knew that it was a genuine conversion. But you know what? From 1997 to 2007, I never had a heart for God's kingdom. Yes, I attended weekend services. I joined Bible studies. I even gave my offerings. But to me, that was all to it about my Christian faith. I didn't have a heart for the lost. I didn't have a heart for God's kingdom. I wasn't excited about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, church, one problem during that time was that I still meddled with the world. Muna kog bakang a Christian ba? My other foot was with the Lord. But my other foot was still in the world. And during the time, I had my own standard of holiness. I was so good at negotiating with God. Lord, okay na ni Lord. Gamay rabi taon ni nga sala. Lord. Lord, last na ni Lord. Last na ni. Di na yung kumabalik. And next week, last na po, no? So I still meddled with the world. I still had those cherished sins in my life. As a result, guys, I was a poor and ineffective witness. And you know what? To fulfill my religious obligation, because to me, my Christianity before was just about religion. To fulfill my religious obligation and to cleanse some guilt, I religiously invited friends to join our Bible study group. The problem was, and yes, they did join me. They did came. When I invited them, a bunch of them came to join us in our Bible study. But the problem was, after our Bible study, since it was Friday night, we go clubbing and we go partying. So guys, as a result, none of them surrendered to their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. I was being a poor and ineffective witness. For me, Christianity was only expressed through religious obligations, like coming in on Sundays, joining Bible studies, giving my offering. That's it. My Christianity was very dry. Now, every time when someone will say, let's give the Lord a clap offering, at the back of my mind, I will ask, napakpak na sad ka po, yasikpakpak. Because my Christianity was so dry. I wasn't excited about God's kingdom. Now, church, it was not until 2006, sometime around 2006 and 2007, that I started to take my faith seriously. And it was around this time that somebody ministered to me and introduced me to the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now you see, I grew up in a church, my former church, that was so conservative. And I grew up from a church where there was almost no mention about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. There was almost no mention about the person and the being of the Holy Spirit. Now to me, during that time, the Holy Spirit was just one of the Godhead in Trinity. Period. That's it. Nothing more. To me, during that time, the Holy Spirit was just a figure in the Trinity. The Holy Spirit somehow became a neglected being in my life. I was ignorant about His presence, and I had been grieving Him time and time again, and yet I didn't even know it. Now, church, this shouldn't be. This is such a tragic mistake as a believer and as a church. Because the Holy Spirit is God. The same worship that we give to the Father, the same worship that we give to the Son, is the same worship that we should give to the Holy Spirit. He is co-equal to the Father, co-equal to the Son. I mean, the Holy Spirit is God. But yet, in this moment in my life, I didn't have a real relationship with the Holy Spirit. To me, He was just a theology. To me, He was just another figure in Trinity. Again, guys, Francis Chan, in his book, he said, the forgotten God. He refers to the Holy Spirit as the forgotten God. Tragic neglect of the Holy Spirit. So guys, as a result, my life was so dry during that time. Now, in 2007, I began to open my life to the leading and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Somebody ministered and introduced me to the person of the Holy Spirit. And what, guys? When I repented of my neglect to the Holy Spirit, when I opened up my life to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, a hunger for God grew within me. A hunger for God's word, a hunger for God's presence, a hunger for God's kingdom grew within me. And I began to pray differently. I began to have a heart for God's kingdom. I began to have compassion for the lost. My Christian faith became radiant. I became more excited about my faith. And most of all, guys, I fell more deeply in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Charles Spurgeon said, the chief office of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Christ. Let me say that again. The chief office of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Christ. And church, you can never find anyone in all existence that is more desirous to glorify Christ than the Holy Spirit. So in 2007, when I opened up my heart to the anointing, to the leading, to the empowering of the Holy Spirit, my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ has been taken to a new level. And what made the difference, guys, is the Holy Spirit. What made the difference was the presence, was the empowering, was the anointing, and my real relationship with the Holy Spirit. So guys, I wish I knew this earlier. I wasted 10 years of my life living a nominal Christian life, just fulfilling religious obligations. So church, that shouldn't be. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Lord Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And again, as I said earlier, if you're a true, genuine believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. But the big question is, does the Holy Spirit have you? Now, guys, you have to understand that the Holy Spirit is holy. The Holy Spirit is holy. And the sins in your life, the sins in my life, greatly affects our fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Now, praise God, because the Bible promises us that the moment we surrender our life to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit forever. Meaning to say, we can never lose the Holy Spirit in our lives because He is the seal, He is the guarantee that we belong to Jesus. But the thing is this, if you continue to live a sinful life, if you continue to have that habitual sin, if you continue to enjoy that sin regardless of big or small, it will rob you of your fellowship with the Holy Spirit. You will lose the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in your life. You will lose the anointing and the favor of God in your life. And church, let me tell you, it's never worth it. Again, as I've said, I lost 10 years of my life. I lost 10 years in my Christian life because, you know, I still meddled with sin. The Holy Spirit is holy. The Bible tells us to be holy, for the God whom we serve is holy. And for the Holy Spirit to greatly manifest in our life, to greatly manifest His fullness in our lives, we got to start living holy and righteous life. So it's about time we let go of the cherished sin. It's about time we let go of that habitual sin that we have. Now, church, when I opened my life to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, He took away the coldness in my heart. I mean, before I was colder than cold when you talk about the Christian faith. Now, the Bible tells us that the Bible says that man baptizes with water, but the Lord Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit and fire. It is the Holy Spirit that will bring the fire of God upon our life. It is the Holy Spirit that will cause us to have that passionate, intimate relationship with the Lord. Now, church, the Lord Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, I want us to underscore this word power here for a moment. Now, guys, the word power here in the original Greek manuscript is the word dunamis. And dunamis is where we get the word dynamite. Dunamis, dynamo, dynamita, dynamite. Now, what I'm trying to say, guys, is that this power that the Holy Spirit brings in our life is not just an itsy-bitsy, tiny little power, but it's dynamite power. It's an uncontainable power. Now, imagine if I bring a dynamite here in the service and I will put it here in the middle of the stage and I would light up this dynamite. Now, the moment this dynamite explodes, this stage will never be the same, right? Because of the impact, because of the explosion of that dynamite. And the same is true for us. Once we tap in to the power of the Holy Spirit, once we tap into the power that the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about here in Acts 1 verse 8, our lives will never, ever, ever be the same. Never the same. Now, church, in 2007, when the Holy Spirit began to manifest Himself in my life, I was never the same. Now, there was one time I was praying so deeply in my room. I was just asking the Lord for more of Himself. I was just calling upon His name. You know what? All of a sudden, as I was praying, I was speaking in different tongues. I was praying in tongues. And nobody ever taught me how to pray in tongues. And by the way, let me just say this, guys. Living Word is a charismatic church. We are a church that believes in the empowering and the ministry and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But anyway, during the time when the Holy Spirit began to manifest in my life, I started different Bible studies. I hosted different evangelistic meetings, one of which is where my parents got saved. I organized youth conferences. I mean, I was just so full of energy. I was so excited about God's kingdom. But guys, it's about time that we need to tap into the dynamis power of the Holy Spirit. It's about time we as Living Word, IT Park Church, we need to tap into that power of the Holy Spirit. It's about time that we let go of those sinful things in our life and be hungry for the things of God's kingdom. Now, moving on, Jesus said, still in Acts 1:8, says here, you will receive power and you will be my witnesses Okay, let's just stop there. Now, what does a witness do? A witness simply testifies, right? Now, church, for you to become a credible witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, obviously, you got to know who the Lord is. Not just here, but more importantly, here. Now, the more intimate you are with the Lord Jesus Christ, the more you can speak about His goodness. The closer you are to God, the spontaneous your witness and testimony becomes. I mean, you don't even have to prepare a program. You don't even have to prepare a strategy when you witness to others. Your witness, your testimony will just be spontaneous. It will just naturally come out of you. Now, 99% of the population will always talk to people about anything that's dear to them, right? 99% of the population will always talk to people about what holds value in their life. What I'm trying to say is that I've seen some parents who cannot stop talking about their children. Oh, my child is so cute. My child is so good at school. I mean, I've seen some parents who can talk nonstop about their children. Why? Because their children is so valuable to them. Now, I've seen some businessmen who cannot stop talking about their business. Oh, I've accomplished this. I've accomplished that. I'm investing here, investing there. Why? Because their business is so valuable to them. And I've seen some people who can talk nonstop about cars. Because they really like cars. They really love cars. And what I'm trying to say, guys, is that Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And guys, if your heart is full of God, if your heart is filled with God's kingdom, it will just be natural for you to talk about Him. It will just be natural for you to talk about His kingdom. The closer you are to God, the more you involve Him in your life, the more testimonies you can share to other people. Church intimacy with the Lord is key to becoming an effective witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, please turn your Bibles for a moment to John chapter 17, verse 3. It says here, this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. He said, "This is eternal life, that they know you as the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." Now, to most Christians, eternal life is about being saved from the fires of hell and spend eternity in heaven. Now, to most Christians, eternal life is defined this way: I will die, I will go to heaven, and be with Jesus forever and ever. Well, church, there's nothing wrong about this definition. But the Lord Jesus Christ has a very different definition of what eternal life is. And He says here, "This is eternal life, that they know you as the only true God and Jesus whom you have sent." Now, eternal life for the Lord Jesus Christ is about knowing Him. Eternal life for the Lord Jesus Christ is about knowing the Father. And church, in the original Greek manuscript, the word "know" here is the word ginosko. And ginosko connotes the meaning of a relationship between a husband and a wife, an intimate kind of relationship, a passionate kind of relationship. So to the Lord Jesus Christ, eternal life is about being intimate with God. It's about to know God deeply. It's about knowing God passionately. And guys, let me just say this to you. Unless you are passionate about the Lord Jesus Christ, unless you are really passionate about God, people will never take your faith seriously. They will never take your faith seriously. But the closer you are to God, the more you involve the Lord in your life, the passionate you are to Him, you will become a natural witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And guys, let me tell you, people will eventually begin to respect that. And you will become an effective witness for the Lord Jesus. Now, natural witness is always the best type of witnessing. Now guys, your testimony, your witnesses doesn't even have to be dramatic. It doesn't have to be like an Elijah type of witness where you call fire from heaven and shoot here on earth. Doesn't have to be, I was an ex-drug addict and I became a pastor. No, your testimony doesn't have to be that dramatic. Your testimony can be as simple as, "You know what, friend? I was so anxious this morning, but when I began to pray, all my anxieties left me." Or you could say to your friends, "You know what? Ever since I became a Christian, I'm not afraid to die any longer." You know what I'm trying to say? Your testimony doesn't have to be dramatic. Now again, church, Jesus said we will receive power and be His witnesses. And as I've said earlier, our witnessing is an effective tool for us to lead others to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our testimony is a very effective tool that we could usher in the lost to the footstool of the cross. But let me just add this, guys. Though our testimonies are good tools to lead others to the Lord Jesus Christ, but that's all there is to it. It's only a tool. It's only a something that we could use to usher people to the footstool of the Lord. But guys, it's still the Word of God that brings life to sinners. It's still the Word of God that saves the lost. Now what I'm trying to say is that every time we witness to others, we see to it that the Word of God would still be spoken. It is not our testimony that will bring them to the cross. I mean, it's not our testimony that would usher God's life unto them. It's still God's Word. And in closing, let's just go to this passage in John chapter 4, verse 39 to 42. John chapter 4, verse 39 to 42. Says here, many Samaritans from the town believe in Him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this indeed is the Savior of the world." So the story here, church, is that the Samaritan woman and Jesus had an encounter by the well. And in their conversation, the Lord Jesus revealed to the woman everything that she has ever done. And in their exchange of conversation, the woman realizes that Jesus was the Messiah. So she goes back to her town and tells everyone, "Oh, I had an encounter with this man." I mean, she was sharing her testimony. She was witnessing to other people. So she brought her town, she brought the people of her town to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Bible tells us that when they heard the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, they believe in him. It says here, "It's no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this indeed is a Savior of the world." They heard the words of Jesus. They heard the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now what I'm trying to say is this: yes, let us be powerful witnesses for the Lord, but let us also not be ignorant about the world, the word of God. As salt of the earth, as light of the world, as witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ, we've got to be well-versed with what the Word of God is saying. Because church, it's still the Word of God that causes sinners to repent. It's still the Word of God that ushers in the life of God unto that sinner. So guys, everything we mentioned here right now about the presence of God, about being a powerful witness, about immersing ourselves with God's Word, all these are ministries of the Holy Spirit. All these are works of the Holy Spirit in our life. And I said earlier that yes, you have the Holy Spirit, but the question is, are you living a Spirit-filled life? Does the Holy Spirit have you? Now church, before I close with a story, I would just like to say this. Yesterday we prayed for so many people. Because like them, they were like me before. I know about the Holy Spirit, but I never knew him. He is just a theology. He's just another Godhead in the Trinity. Now guys, that is something that we need to repent of. And yesterday, the pastoral team were praying for people who responded that they want the Holy Spirit to greatly manifest in their life. And we're going to also do that this morning. No, we're also going to do that this morning. Now today, if you've somehow felt that this message has spoken to you, that you want to be all out for the Lord this time, you want the Holy Spirit to greatly manifest in your life, the pastoral team is here once again, and we'd love to pray for you. We'd love to pray for you guys. If you want to take your faith seriously this time, after our last song, for those who want to be prayed for, you just come forward. And the pastoral team will lay hands on you. If it's your desire to be empowered by the Spirit, if it's your desire for the anointing of God to come and flow into your life, the pastoral team will gladly pray for you after the service. Okay? So, come forward after our final song. Now, to wrap up our Go and Tell series, let me just add this, guys. 4 years ago, somebody applied to me as my personal assistant in my business. And he was the typical long hair. He was the typical rocker type of guy, feeler kaiba. And he was a Manila boy. And so we met. He was, because I'm into car business, if you're going to go check some cars, if it's a far place, he will be my driver. And he holds, and when I go check some cars, he will be the one to hold the tools and I go check the car. Anyway, we're really tandem in my business. Now, I noticed that when he drives the car, his mouth is so colorful. When he overtakes, grabe kay mamalikas, no? He's so fast to cuss. And so I was thinking, di ni pwede da. And I also found out that he and his wife, or common law wife, they're living together, but they're not married. So in other words, he was pretty much living a sinful lifestyle. So one time, I called him in the office and told him, "As your boss, I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these things that you're doing, this should not happen. Because I just hope that you can correct the right, you can just correct the wrongs in your life. I hope that you will make things right. And I will never forget what he answered me. He told me, "Sir, akong boss sa una Christian man sad pero puro rastorya, why buhat?" So I took it as a challenge. So during that time, I began to pray for him. I began to pray for my right-hand guy. And in our casual conversation, I started to witness to him. "You know what, Bri? Before I was in drugs, but I thank God that because of God's grace, I'm delivered. You know what, Bri? I had cancer before, but when I went through that cancer, I had peace because the Lord's presence was in me." And every time I talk about him, as I witness to him, I made sure that bits and pieces of God's word will also be shared to him. No? Now, I was just witnessing. I was just lived out as a witness to him. Now, one time, his son got very sick. Was admitted, was confined to the hospital for several months. So what we learned last week, as salt of the earth, light of the world, we are to add flavor, right? So I visited his son in the hospital, prayed for his son, and it was in my capacity to help him financially, so I did that. Now during that time, when he saw me praying for his son, when he saw me paying for some of those medical bills, I've seen tears in his eyes. And one time, he finally asked me about questions about God, questions about the Bible. So I seized that opportunity. Ngutana man. So I asked him, "Ganahan yung kamay bao, so let's have Bible study." So during that time, every Wednesday night, I've seen to it, I conduct Bible study to him. And not to make the long story short, not long after that, he gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And some 2 years ago, he approached me. He said, "Sir, I will marry my wife because I don't want to stumble anyone because I am now a Christian." Now guys, that was 4 years ago. Today, as we have our service here in Living Word IT Park, they also have their service there in our Cebuano service, and he's now one of our workers in Living Word Cebuano service. Now let's give the Lord a big clap. So those simple principles, I witnessed to him. I was being a salt and light to him. Preach the word of God to him. And guys, let me tell you, the amazing thing is this. Not only is he saved, not only is his wife saved. Right now, Pastor Jed and Brian, my right-hand guy, every Friday, they're inviting people in their neighborhood to have Bible study, and people also come into the footstool of the Lord. So that's how it works, guys. As salt of the earth and light of the world, we are to be witnesses. We are to add flavor. So again, let me just call the worship team as we end with the song. If somehow these words minister to you today, you want to surrender your life and yield your life to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, after the last song, just come forward and we'd love to pray for you. We'd love to pray for God's anointing to be upon your life. Now, church, I would just like to remind you, next week is an evangelistic service. We're going to be sharing the gospel both in our Saturday and Sunday service. Now, if you have a friend in mind or if you have a relative in mind that's not yet a Christian, that's still an unbeliever, start to pray for them. Be a salt and light to them. And try to invite them or try to convince them to join our Saturday service next week or our Sunday service next week. Who knows? That might be the appointed day where they will give their life to Christ. Amen? Oh, Father, we just come before your presence, Lord. May you prepare our hearts, Father God, for the task next week, Lord. It's our desire, Father God, that this place next week in the name of Jesus will be filled with unbelievers, Lord, whose hearts and ears are ready to receive the gospel, O God. O Father, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, that you grant the anointing, O God, that, Lord, when we invite people, O God, people would come, Lord. You will be the one to invite them. You'll be the one to lead them, O God. And our desire, O God, is by your grace and by your grace alone, Lord, we pray, O Lord, that there will be a harvest of souls next week. So I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you be the one, O God, to place the burden into the hearts of those who are present here, O Lord, to invite an unbelieving friend or invite an unbelieving relative, O God. And our desire and prayer, Lord, is that next week, Lord, heaven will rejoice, O God, because, Lord, sinners will come into repentance, Lord. So we bless you, Father. We worship you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.